What's up, Foos? Main event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me, about to get them, all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome into the Early Line, hour number two, live right here on Sports Grid. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside with you on this Thursday morning. Lot of stuff for us to preview here on a Thursday in hour number two. Postseason baseball, game five, win or go home, Dodgers, Giants. Thursday night football, still a lot of key player props to break down there. Final thoughts on the side and the total. And we're also going to hit the match specials market, a tremendous little market there on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Excited to get into all of that. But we also have a two-pack of college football today. And before we get to those two games, I want to talk about the make-miss markets for the college football playoff, because these markets will typically come down before we head into the weekend. And I want to talk a little bit about these because, of course, they change each and every week there as teams start to put the appropriate results in the pocket or maybe lose games as a 17.5 point favorite. I'm looking at you, Alabama, but I'm also looking at Alabama, Donnie, as a minus 150 favorite still to make the college football playoff. And I'm trying to rationalize the why. Why is Alabama still such a clear favorite to make the college football playoff? And I guess what this comes down to is, A, not a ton of clear-cut contenders behind them that the markets believe in, but B, maybe the gap that we think we have between Georgia and Alabama, maybe not as strong according to the books here. And if they did meet in an SEC title game, no guarantee Georgia's able to get the win.
Yeah, the Bama name. And again, odds makers sometimes don't put it like, you know, hey, here's what the price actually is going to be, but who's actually going to be betting this price? Because when you say Alabama to make the college football playoff, absolutely they're a top four team in the country. What if I were to tell you that they would have two losses on the season? I still think they are a top four football team in the country, but that's not how the playoff works. It's not a 16-team playoff where you just have to be okay and make it in. You have to be one of the elite programs. I don't think they make it in at this time because, number one, they have to run the rest of the table here in the SEC and then beat Georgia on a neutral field in Atlanta, which last time I checked was in the state of Georgia, to get in. Two losses for Alabama. They are not getting into the college football playoff. So when I look at that plus 118 number, I think that's legitimate here where they're not going to get there. Now, also, I'm going to contradict myself in just a little bit when we're talking about some of the other teams as it pertains to Alabama. Yeah. But how I'm looking at Alabama right now today, I would take the no over the yes.
It's about where the value is overall, and I think I agree with you. The value is on that plus money price at plus 118. If for no other reason than if you get to the SEC title game and the Bama Crimson Tide are lined up against an unbeaten Georgia, if you're a little bit concerned, you should be able to bet Bama money line at a plus price going into that football game and still lock yourself in minimal profit. And that's, again, if you're worried. But all in all, you might be showing up to the SEC title game with, say, plus 118 money line on Georgia, where maybe that real line is minus 180 if those teams were to meet. Now, there's a lot of other teams that are super fascinating to me to break down here. One I wanted to make sure we talked about, Donnie, the Ohio State Buckeyes. To me, I feel like this group would warrant the second position on the favorites board to win the college football playoff, and then I guess it should maybe reflect that for them to make the college football playoff. A difficult schedule, but unlike Bama, they're going to be favored throughout the remainder of their schedule. As the radio audience is in full effect, we appreciate all those listening to the Early Line on Sports Grid Radio. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside with you on a Thursday morning, talking a little make-miss college football playoff markets here. Donnie, what do you think about the Buckeyes who check in at a pick'em, minus 112 both sides here for the yes or the no to make the CFP?
Yeah, it seems like they've righted the ship here since their loss to Oregon. But as I preface saying that, the only really tough team they had to play was Oregon, and they lost to Oregon. So when you take a look down the stretch, the Indiana game, which you thought might have been a little bit more competitive, or Indiana being a better football team, not the case here, which would help them. But you're still going to get a top 10 level program in Penn State coming up, Michigan State, and also Michigan. So if they win out and win the Big Ten with one loss, they are getting in. And I do still think they're the most talented team overall in the Big Ten. So if I'm being asked today, can they make it into the playoff? I'm going to say yes with the minus 112, because you're telling me a one-loss team that beats those teams the rest of the way and then goes into the Big Ten championship and maybe beats another top 10 team on top of that. One loss, they're getting in.
Let's stay in the state, Donnie, here with Ohio State, and let's go to Cincinnati. Plus 152. For the Bearcats to make the college football playoff. What was meant to be a very difficult game for them was a matchup with UCF. They're three touchdown favorites there. UCF is a complete mess here. They've got a date down the road at SMU. Maybe that's difficult, but they're home. Tulsa, home. Is it at Navy? Is it at East Carolina? They should run the table, Donnie. Plus 152 to make the college football playoff. You buying the Bearcats?
I'm not buying the Bearcats, and it's not because the Bearcats aren't a good football team and deserve to be in the playoff, but they're going to get hit with that tsunami, as I like to say, because what happens if Alabama runs the table, then beats Georgia in the SEC title game? Georgia's in and Alabama's in. What happens if Ohio State runs the table and wins the Big 10 championship game? They are going to be in, but also the team that we're not paying a lot of attention to right now is the team sitting in that four seed here for the AP Top 25. That's Oklahoma. They have an easy schedule the rest of the way. If they're unbeaten and Alabama beats Georgia, Cincinnati will not make it to the college football playoff, which is crazy, which might be good for the future, and we actually get a real college football playoff with 32 or more teams.
Expand that field. There are two more teams, though, that I want to make sure we mention, and we'll preview the two college games next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the Early Line, talking a little make-miss college football playoff markets here. We're talking about Cincinnati. The Bearcats right now in the AP Top 25, the third team overall. In front of them, Georgia and Iowa. Now, Iowa's maybe going to lose a game, say, in the Big Ten title game, right? Iowa's really interesting. If they show up to the Big Ten title game and they're unbeaten and their only loss is to Ohio State, who would make the college football playoff, why can't Iowa get the same benefit of the doubt that Georgia or Alabama would be getting here? It's interesting, and it certainly would make life difficult on Cincinnati. Multiple SEC teams with legitimate arguments, multiple Big Ten teams filling out that spot as well. Donnie, you mentioned Oklahoma looking like maybe they fixed their quarterback woes, going from Spencer Rattler to Caleb Williams. They're in disarray right now, shutting out practice. Nobody, you know, they have kids on campus trying to film practice to figure out who's the quarterback. Grow up, Lincoln Riley. Rattler lost the job. Just name Caleb Williams the starter and move on with it right now. But all of this makes life very difficult for Cincinnati, because they don't have, Donnie, teams on the schedule that when they beat them, they can jump up in a massive way. They had that in Indiana and Notre Dame, except by the time they played Indiana, the Hoosiers were a joke. They did play Notre Dame at a good time, ND, top 10 in the country. They beat them. But you go through the schedule here, and that's where the Bearcats feel so vulnerable that it's going to be tough for them to hold off Ohio State beating Penn State when they say, come on now, we just went to Tulane and got a win.
Yeah, and even so, the joke that the running joke, which, hey, may end up happening here, Notre Dame, which lost at home the double digits by Cincinnati, but runs the table in the end, the committee goes, hey, look at all the money on the table. If we leave Notre Dame out, they go in over Cincinnati because it's no fault of their own. This is the way college football is set up. The Power Five conferences are supposed to eat at the table first, and then you throw some scraps to the group of five. Now it looks like you have a legitimate group of five team that should be able to make their way into the national championship picture. Why? Because your toughest games on the schedule, both on the road, one at Big Ten, Indiana, you beat them by double digits. The other one, Notre Dame, on the road, you beat them by double digits. And then my favorite part of this is now you come back after the Notre Dame game, but, oh, letdown situation. You win that one by close to 50 points, 52-3. But everybody looks at that game and goes, that's what you're supposed to do. What? Excuse me. Win games by 50? So what happens if they would have beat Temple 52-34? They're not ready to get in the national championship picture. They play UCF. Are we going to expect them to win by 40-plus points in this game and hold them to a different standard? Whereas if they go and beat UCF by 14 points, oh, man, they're not worthy of a championship game. But keep in mind, you might remember this Cincinnati team not for making the college football playoff, not for winning a national championship, but they might be number one on my board. Why, Kevin? Because they can force the establishment to change. Because if Cincinnati is convincing in every victory and runs the table and gets left out due to other teams that have losses of big teams in the Power Five conferences, this is going to be sensational stuff to watch. And it's not their fault at all. It's just the design of college football. It's about making money. There will be more eyeballs on Notre Dame than Cincinnati, even though Cincinnati beat Notre Dame, Kevin.
It's going to be a tough spot there for Cincy. But as Donnie said, I want them to be the sacrificial lamb. You got to expand the college football playoff. And I don't need – listen, by the way, don't sell me some nonsense. Well, listen, we got to renegotiate here. It's going to take us 5 to 6 years to get this settled. The NFL just woke up, called ESPN. Hey, by the way, Monday Night Football, what do you say? Here's a bag. Figure it out. All right? I don't have time for that. I don't have time for – like, yeah, we could do this eight teams tomorrow. All right? So, listen, it's going to be what it's got to be here. There is one more team that absolutely needs – mentioning here. I taught, you know, the Iowa scenario where they are an unbeaten Big Ten champion participant, lose to Ohio State. They should still have a chance to get in. The thing, though, is as Ohio State is sat there meant to run the table and beat the Iowa Hawkeyes and the Nittany Lions and make the college football playoff, there is one team that I have to try and defend here, Donnie. What happened to the Oregon Ducks? 7-1 to make the college football playoff, went to Columbus, won a football game. Apparently, that never happened. I know they lost to Stanford. It's one loss. It's one loss, a one-loss conference champion. We always feel like has a legitimate chance to make it. I mean, is Bama going to put a better win on their resume unless they beat Georgia? Is Oklahoma going to put a better win on their resume than what Oregon has to put forward? Oh, and Ohio State lost to Oregon. Why is this team essentially already eliminated from the dance?
It shouldn't be true, because look at the remaining schedule. Now, again, let's rewind into the summer and say, well, hold on here. They got to go to UCLA. They got to play at Washington. They got to go to at Utah. They're probably going to lose one of those games because those are really good football teams, particularly Washington and Utah. Not the case anymore. Two average football teams. So you're going to tell me Oregon, and there always is a Pac-12 bias, and I certainly have a Pac-12 bias card in my wallet. But if we look down the stretch, they run the table. They win the Pac-12 championship game. Are you really telling me that a Power Five conference football team with one loss and a one-loss Ohio State Power Five conference team where it comes down to the wire and they go, you know what? We just think Ohio State's a little bit better here. We're going to put them in, even though Ohio State lost to Oregon in their own building. I need this to happen. I don't want Oregon in. I'd rather have Ohio State in the playoff because I do think Ohio State still is the better football team, even though they won as the season will play out. But there's no way you can tell a Power Five conference, wait a second, we beat the other team in their building and we have the same record and won our championship and we're the fifth team, we're not getting in? Boy, bring it on, because again, that will open another can of worms where we need to expand the college football playoff.
Chaos. We're rooting for chaos. Two games on the college football board today. Certainly interesting matchups here. Memphis and Navy is where we'll start. Memphis is laying 10.5 points. The over-under here, Donnie, is 55.5. Navy coming in three straight covers as double-digit dogs. Once again, double-digit dogs. Memphis not playing great football here. I'm a little surprised by the heavy number that the Tigers are laying. Any thoughts from you on this matchup?
It's an interesting one because Navy, as we know, triple option team. And if you're taking a look at the way that you would want to attack the Memphis Tigers, Kevin, is through the air. They give up 316 yards per game in the air. Here's the only issue. Navy doesn't throw. They average 63 yards per game through the air. So it's going to be a complete ground attack. It does seem like high because when you take a look at the service academies here, if they get their offense rolling, they can chew up clock here, which means it's very hard to win by double digits. And when you take a look at a Navy team, if they get the football back down 14 points with 8 minutes to go, they'll probably just grind it down, score a touchdown with 2.5 minutes to go, get inside that number, and end up covering because, again, Memphis would just run the clock out. It's an interesting matchup overall, but I do lean slightly towards Navy with the double digits just because of that factor here, Kevin.
I think my favorite way to play the game, Donnie, is the Navy team total. Last I saw, 21.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook here. Navy has been able to go over their team total in three straight games. It's a big part of how they're covering here. The defense on their end is still not a tremendous unit. Memphis has given up over the last 5 weeks 50, 29, 31, 34, 35. My goodness, that defense is bad. Very, very bad. If Navy's going to hang around, they're going to need to get above three touchdowns in this game. Not a bad look. Other game here on the board, Donnie, a little less exciting. South Alabama, Georgia Southern. South Alabama, a 2.5-point favorite right now. Over-under's 50.5.
Yeah, also, Georgia Southern likes to run the football here, Kevin, averaging 253 yards per game, which equates to 5.4 yards per carry as they rush. But take a look at the South Alabama defense, Kevin, only giving up 120 yards on the ground per game and only 3.4 yards per carry. That leads me to believe I'm going to take the home team here, laying the short number at 3.
If South Alabama is able to win this game, it'd be their first time in 7 tries. They've played every single year since 2014, and the Eagles just keep beating up here on South Alabama. This South Alabama group appears a little bit better, but sometimes you just have a program's number. It'll be an interesting one to follow. Certainly could have plenty of live opportunities as well, which I know we'll be following on In Play Sports Tonight. We'll also be following Giants-Dodgers on In Play Sports Tonight. Let's preview that matchup next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game 5 doesn't have the same ring as Game 7, but it's all the same. Win or go home, evened up at 2 apiece here between the two best teams in Major League Baseball, the Giants and the Dodgers. 107 wins for the Giants in the regular season, 106 for the LA Dodgers, and it all comes down to one more game here at San Francisco. This is just so fascinating to me. The Dodgers, over the last like 3 years, have hardly ever been underdogs. Now in the biggest game of their season, they are, but slightly, -104. It is -112 on the Giants right now. Lines moving throughout the day, and I'm sure they will continue to move. It wouldn't shock me in the slightest if the Dodgers flip back around to favorites by chance in this game. We talked about this total earlier in the week. It was a 6.5. I couldn't believe my eyes, although I get it. It's postseason baseball, two great pitchers. It's up to a 7. That is a little bit more respectable. At least you hesitate, you think, you wait. All in all, though, Donnie, this comes down to Logan Webb and Julio Urias. Let's start with Logan Webb, the star of the game here. A guy who went out there in the opening game of this series and just was masterful. Do you think he can do it again? And how does this Dodgers lineup profile tonight against Logan Webb?
Yeah, before we get to the Dodgers and how they put up against Logan Webb, let me just start with the starting times here tonight, right? So you have a standalone game in Major League Baseball. Yeah, let's bury it at 9:08 on the West Coast. And so you say, well, Donnie, you know, they want to get it prime time. It's what they're trying to do. Well, then riddle me this. The American League Championship Series, which starts tomorrow on a Friday night. You know what time first pitch is? 7:07. What are we doing here in Major League Baseball? Why is this game not starting at 7 o'clock tonight the same way the ALCS is starting? So it's for another day, another discussion. Let's get back to Logan Webb. He has been dominant for most of the season and certainly the summer. Last 30 days, Kevin, take a look at this. An xFIP number of 1.99. That is off the charts good. If you try to match up what he does well, lefties and righties, 278 weighted on base percentage to lefties. Keep in mind, Webb is a right-handed pitcher. And to righties, a 186. ISO power numbers both under 1. To lefties at a .071. To righties, a .036. You do have an ultra-talented lineup here for the Los Angeles Dodgers. But Webb seems like the perfect matchup to go against them. And also, as we were taking a look at the lines, you know, 116, as the placard said, now down to 112. Would it surprise you, Kevin, if we had basically like a minus 105 both sides, or even the Dodgers later in the day taking on some favorite money? It wouldn't surprise me. But I have to say, the two really good pitchers on the mound, I think Webb might be the better pitcher here tonight.
And obviously, that is why we are seeing this price start to get on the move here a little bit. Again, just to really emphasize what he did in the opening game of this series. 7 2/3 innings, 5 hits, 0 walks, 10 strikeouts. Virtually untouchable here against that Dodgers lineup. It'll make figuring out some of the Dodger player props probably quite difficult if you're willing to back the Dodger props there. Again, remember the way these are priced here, there aren't really no options. You're not betting for no hits or, say, under 2.5 total bases here. It's all kind of, you know, positive bets, if you will. So it makes things maybe a little bit more difficult here against Logan Webb. When you look at Urias, though, throwing the lefty here, they went to Walker Buehler on short rest. It was clearly the right decision. It worked out for this team. He got them 4 1/3 solid innings, passed it over to the bullpen, and they closed out the Giants there in the fourth game. Puts the game, though, on Urias' shoulders. Even though he's incredibly young, Donnie, had a lot of postseason experience, pitched a lot of postseason baseball, did the 25-year-old last year for the Dodgers on the trip to winning the World Series. What do you make of the lefty's chances of trying to hold down this Giants lineup?
I think he has a pretty good chance of doing it. Now, keep in mind, Urias is a very good pitcher, and so is Webb. So you're trying to find some of these intricacies that we think can make some sense, and maybe one team can do some damage. Now, his xFIP in Urias is a little bit higher than Webb's is, a 3.99 over the past 30 days. They're both decent strikeout pitchers, but also take a look. Handling his business, again, Urias is a left-handed pitcher. 236 weighted on base percentage to lefties and a 215 to righties, and also ISO power numbers that are below 1. So when we talk about both of these pitchers, and if one of them struggles here, you go right to the bullpen, we're still looking probably at an under, even though it's at an astoundingly low total of 7. But let's take a look at the lineup here and how it projects to go up against the lefty on the mound for the Dodgers. Ruff and Bryant have really struggled over the past 30 days, which basically is the playoffs, you know, give or take. A 261 weighted on base average and a 259 coupled with Bryant. So not hitting. They're projected to be the 1 and 2 batters in the lineup tonight. But take a look after this, Kevin, versus lefties in this Giants lineup. Slater, a 7.42 weighted on base percentage. Buster Posey, 4.34. Flores, 3.78. Crawford, a 3.77. Now you take a look at Evan Longoria, who has a 1.93 weighted on base percentage, which isn't good, but his ISO power number through those 10 at-bats is a 300. Solano in the 8 hole, a 600 ISO power number and a 4.99 weighted on base percentage. So when I look at both of these lineups combined, the more talented overall lineup probably is always going to be the Dodgers. But the way these two pitchers match up with the batters, I think San Francisco again has the edge. So if you hear me talking about this game and saying I think the better pitcher is Webb, and I think now the better lineup is San Francisco, you know which way I'm actually leaning tonight? Towards the Dodgers. Yes, no, just kidding. I'm actually leaning towards the Giants here.
Which is incredible when you consider where the Dodgers have been all year long. And it's been understandable. And here's the interesting thing, right? Odds to win the National League. The Braves are the favorite at plus 145. That's because they're through to the next round. The Dodgers are in front of the Giants, plus 180 to the Giants, 2-1. On the World Series price, the Dodgers, plus 410, better odds than the Braves, who are on to the next round. The Giants with the longest odds of any team to win the World Series at plus 500, despite being favored in the game. I think that has to do with being smaller favorites, not massive ones. And also, if the Dodgers get through, they are flipping right back to their business-as-usual status as favorites. People will be laying a game and a half against the Braves. They'll be expected to meet the Astros or the Red Sox. No problem, whichever team makes it out of the American League. It's what makes this spot so fascinating. We talked, Lodani, about player props here, and it's interesting because the Giants, to me, have, you know, perhaps maybe some more attractive options as well. It matches up with what you're saying here. When Urias had the ball against the Giants in that second game, there were two guys that stood out to me when you look at their prior performances against Urias and some of the splits that could work out for two-plus total bases. And it was Buster Posey and it was Austin Slater. And both paid out. Slater is plus 120 and Buster Posey is plus 125. The tricky thing that I realized, though, Donnie, on Slater is he got pulled from that game because he essentially useless if he's not going up against the lefty, to where you're going to need him to do it some damage within the first two at-bats. But Buster Posey is someone, Donnie, that I will gladly back for two-plus total bases at plus 125. Any thoughts on that or some other hitters that you might be willing to play with here in this game?
It's great that you went right to it, because before the show, I was doing some numbers here saying, where does this make sense? Because also keep in mind, we're trying to get, you know, guys to get base hits and, you know, hitting parlays. But then again, this total is not 9.5. It's at 7. And everybody, the matchups are going to be changing. It's a great point you bring up, because you see the lefty on the mound. Well, if he's only there through a batter or two, that sort of throws out of whack what you were looking for. But if we just go with what we see pregame here, by far to me, the two player props that I have were both Buster Posey to lefties, 375, 434 as those combined ISO power numbers, along with the weighted on base percentage. But the reason you like him also, Kevin, this is a standalone game. Winner advances, loser goes home. So if you're looking to rely on somebody, you're going to rely on a guy like Slater, Flores, you know, Solano, who have decent numbers. No, I'm going to go right into the middle of that lineup. So if I'm taking a look here, if Buster Posey has a decent day at the plate, I love the two plus bases here listed at plus 130. But you know what else I like as well? If he's sitting in that four spot, he's probably going to have a great chance to drive in runs. And when I say runs with an S, we don't even need that. Just to drive in one run tonight, Kevin, in a game, that's plus 200 here for an RBI for Buster Posey in this closeout situation. If the runs are going to be scored, Buster Posey is probably going to be a big indicator in that, because he's estimated to hit fourth. If Buster Posey gets a collar 0-for-4 in the four hole, they probably won't win this game. I look for Buster Posey to have a big impact in this game. Give me the two bases on him at a plus money number, and give me the RBI shot at 2-1 as well.
That's a great, great shot there. You love those plus money options. Let me bring up two Dodgers. Firstly, Gavin Lux. Lux got the start against the Giants in the fourth game, 2-for-2 at the plate with two walks. Now, I played two total bases. Donnie's like, be careful. He walks all the time. He walks all the time. So Lux for maybe a hit, minus 160, part of prop parlays. He was piping hot coming into the playoffs and warranted that spot there. Justin Turner. Turner is someone that I played over two total bases against Webb in the opening game. 3-for-7 lifetime, all three hits were doubles. He has been horrible in the postseason, Donnie. Two hits in 21 at-bats. But it's now plus 125. Can I justify backing Justin Turner in this game? Is he due? Can we back Justin Turner because he's due, Donnie?
It's a hard one because his numbers stack up pretty well against righties. But you're right. Sometimes you want to go with the hot bat. If we're looking at a Turner, I look at his twin brothers. I like this name, Trey Turner, in that three hole tonight. 429 weighted on base percentage. Even when you take a look at him, Kevin, to get the two bags or more, he beats out infield hits. That is such a massive advantage to have. And he's actually playing much better baseball at this time. So maybe the other Turner, Kevin, is the one to look for tonight.
Also, you can always justify a play on Mookie Betts, minus 110. He did have two hits off of Webb in that first game there. All right, we take a break. We come back. Thursday night football, Eagles, Bucks. Let's dance.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Thursday night, football in Philly. What could be better? The Eagles host the defending Super Bowl champions, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Eagles are 6.5-point underdogs on the FanDuel Sportsbook. The total is 52.5. We've talked about some competing trends coming into this game. Brady, since going to Tampa Bay, 0-6 against the spread in prime time. That includes 0-2 this season, a Sunday night non-cover, but a win by two against the Pats, and a Thursday night non-cover, but a win by two against the Dallas Cowboys. However, he's on the road here, Tom Brady. The road teams have been dominant against the number to start this season. 5-0 against the spread road teams thus far on Thursday night football. All of the favorites also have won so far on Thursday night football. A tough task here, Donnie, for the Philadelphia Eagles trying to slow down Brady and the Bucs.
Yeah, trying to slow him down is the right point here. But I know we've looked all week long, right, Kevin, at the total of this game, 52.5. And it seems to be like everybody wants to take the over, and maybe rightfully so. But do we get a little bit of a sloppier ball game tonight here, Kevin, for a Thursday night? Do we get Tom Brady handing the football off a little bit more because the Eagles are willing partners to get gashed in the running game? Or do we just say throw caution to the wind again? Hey, you know, those wide receivers, Brown, Godwin, and Evans, they just should be able to do damage. And a very good offensive line for the Bucs will keep the pass rush of the Eagles at bay, which means you can pick on those weak linebackers and safeties and try to get after. Because Eagles cornerbacks across the board are decent. They're not bad football players with Slay, Maddox, and Nelson. But I just can't get over the fact that it seems like such an easy total to hit here. Like, oh, we're just going to take the over and the Eagles will play well into the fourth quarter. What happens, Kevin? Let's play devil's advocate during this segment. That Jalen Hurts looks like the Jalen Hurts of last week, where the Eagles could barely move the football for three quarters. Now, Carolina's defense overall may be a little bit better than the Buccaneers, but we're not talking about any elite defense in the Carolina Panthers that nobody wants to match up with. The Eagles were horrendous and probably don't win that football game unless they didn't block a punt. So is there a world that we enter into this game where, you know, double-digit lead by the Buccaneers at the half, they just run the football and do whatever they want in the second half and salt this game away where it doesn't get over? Because we're not looking at a 46.5, 47. You still got to get 53 points or more to win this football game. So maybe we should be looking a little bit more at the under, maybe the capabilities of a Thursday night football game going under, or is it just Tom Brady, the Buccaneers? You can't take an under with them.
I think that's tough to take an under with them, right? Their only under of the season was that Sunday night game against the Patriots where it seemingly was the fault of the rain, I guess. The offenses, when the weather stopped for a little bit, did start to move the ball some. I mean, also, drop touchdowns, no ability to convert field goals into touchdowns of the Patriots, having no interest in actually scoring the football, didn't help the total in that game overall. The Eagles have two examples that you probably could use of having games versus comparable offenses. The Cowboys and the Chiefs gave up 40 in both. It's not a great omen here for the Eagles walking into this game on the defensive side of the ball. The interesting thing, though, you mentioned, Tom Brady maybe not clicking at 100% coming into the game, a thumb injury. Could this be more ground attack for them? Because the thing is, the Eagles right now, Donnie, do look very vulnerable with their run defense. Chuba Hubbard last week filling in for McCaffrey, 24 carries, 101 yards. Clyde Edwards-Helaire got right against this Chiefs team for 100 on the ground. Tony Pollard and Zeke combined for well over 100 rushing against this Eagles team here. Even the top backs on the Niners combined for 80 rush yards against Philly. The Falcons were a nightmare and trailed for so much of that game here. As we work in some player props, Donnie, it's really hard to not want a piece of Leonard Fournette. 62.5 rushing yards here. It feels like the kind of game where Fournette could very well get going. And I wouldn't even be mad at backing your guy, Rojo, there. 15.5 come in for a couple of carries, maybe. Donnie, I mean, he got over 20 last week, chiseling away at that season-long number.
I loved it, too, because as we were preparing for the show here, he didn't have his props up, which he just appeared up. So the ultimate backslap saying, hey, you know what? And Donnie writes that as an over on Ronald Jones' season total. They're playing against a team that can't stop the run. And FanDuel's like, you know what?
Yeah.
I don't even know if this guy gets in the game at this point because you're hanging a 15 and a half. Now, when, and honestly, I'm glad that popped up now.
They got Kenneth Gainwell props up there.
Yeah, exactly.
Earlier. That's tough.
Yeah. And it, like Tom Brady rushing for over 1.5 yards is hilarious as well. But take a look at Ronald Jones in this game. You can run on the Eagles. He is a running back. And they go, yeah, 15 yards. Good luck with that. Like, honestly, why wouldn't you be taking that? Is it because Leonard Fournette is just going to run over everybody? Because his 62.5 prop, I actually had that circled when we started the show here. I think just by default, Leonard Fournette should be able to get 15 carries and get to that price. Because, again, the Eagles don't stop the run. They don't have good linebackers enough to come up and, you know, handle that damage. But I look at the Ronald Jones number, and I just scratch my head. That should be by default. That should be a default number. The backup tailback on Tampa Bay gets 16 yards? I'm going to have to change it up here. I don't know if this is my, you know, pride talking right here. But Ronald Jones, 15.5, is a ridiculous price. And I might just have to bet it out of spite at this point here, Kevin.
Also, and there's two things here. I've tried not to bet, Donnie, any of my season-long guys on a week-to-week basis. I just feel like that maybe goes against one another. Respectfully, you could bet Rojo over 15 and a half here, man. Like, that's certainly not what those props were supposed to be. But also, Donnie, he's gone over this now in three of their four games. And of their wins, he's gone over it in all but one, and it was the game against Dallas where, you know, turnover, Rojo showed up to the game there. It's not a bad shout over 15 and a half. You don't need a lot of work there for him to get there. You also mentioned the Brady number somewhat jokingly at 1.5. He's gone over the number now four straight weeks here, Donnie. The only game he didn't go over was against Dallas. He didn't have any attempts running. Again, it's 1.5. Like, I know people are going to try and, you know, smartest man in the room, he's going to kneel, he's going to kneel. I mean, he kneeled against New England and still got over that. If he does run, like, odds are it's for about 5 yards or so. Also, Tom's one of the quarterbacks that when he does his kneel downs, he goes straight down. He doesn't do the Mahomes run backward 15 yards. So Brady over 1.5, not mad at that. You want to talk about a bet that you are in for 100% of the game? That's Tom Brady over 1.5 rush yards. Now, Donna, we tease it. Hour number one. I know there were some other props in the receiving game that you were interested in. Talk to me a little bit about those.
If we think there's going to be points in this game and you think the Eagles are going to be losing, which means they're going to be throwing much more, not running the football. Now, also keep in mind, you take a look at injuries and how they pertain to games and what you see as what the Eagles want to do. Dallas Goedert is a big part of their passing offense again. He's not probably going to play tonight unless he clears COVID protocols, which I believe he had that back-to-back test after since testing positive for COVID, which hasn't been the case. We're anticipating him not playing in this football game tonight, which immediately brings up Zach Ertz, who not the same football player that was scoring touchdowns in a Super Bowl and, you know, helping the team win games per se because he's a talent and one of the better tight ends in the league. That's no longer the case. But you're still going to have him in an elite amount of snaps here in the red zone and still be a target. So if I take a look at him and say, well, I don't really want his over-receiving props or even catch props here, but I think there's a legitimate chance in the red zone he will be a target, Kevin. Anytime touchdown score tonight, plus 200 here on Zach Ertz. If you think the Eagles are going to throw, if the Eagles are going to be down, and we already know they don't like to run the football, if he can get a couple red zone targets here, there's a really good chance here, Kevin, he can cash in that plus 200. And also taking a look at one of those match specials that we love to cheer on. This one, to me, doesn't feel as great as the Monday Night Football game that we cashed in on. But this is a plus 190 price for three touchdowns out of four players. Those four players tonight, Kevin, Miles Sanders, Leonard Fournette, Devonta Smith, and Godwin at wide receiver.
Poor Miles,
did you see the look
man.
I gave, right? Poor, exactly.
I did. Poor Miles Sanders, man.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Like, he's in there. You're like, oh, that's the lead running back. And you say to yourself, like, are they ever going to give this guy the football? But that is three touchdowns out of that grouping. But then again, you could say, okay, if Miles Sanders doesn't have a very good night here, doesn't get the red zone carries, Leonard Fournette is going to get goal line carries. Chris Godwin is going to be in the passing game. Devonta Smith is going to be in the passing game. I just don't feel it's as good as what we saw on Monday Night Footballs.
No. By the way, we ran it up on that Monday game. Hollywood Brown had two. Andrews had two. Taylor had two. Pittman had one. I mean, it was a tremendous grouping. Monday Night Football was very, very good for the match specials. I just want to circle back quickly, Donnie, to Zach Ertz. The receptions prop is 4.5. We have seen over the first 5 weeks of Eagles football, Ertz and Goddard combine for 44 targets. 8.8 targets per game to those two players. If that all goes to Zach Ertz now, you love your chances of being able to get over some of those receptions numbers, even the yardage numbers as well there on Ertz. As we're talking about match specials, Donnie, there was one number that I know I wanted to bring up here to see if we thought there was some appropriate value going through these guys. I unfortunately can't find the spot right now, but it was for both quarterbacks to have. I just can't find it. I don't know where it went. But it's for both quarterbacks to throw for 300 yards, paying out over $3 on that price. Brady's over-under is 300.5, and Hurts is at 285.5. You're already so close. And again, when you think about it, Brady loves throwing the football all over the yard, and Hurts might just have to throw for 300 because you can't run against these guys. That was one of the match specials that really stood out to me.
Yeah, it makes sense. No, it certainly does, because you're not asking for a big leap where it says, like, okay, we're going to put them both at 325. Now, one guy's got to go about 35 yards above what we anticipate him getting. And also taking a look at it, you think Brady is going to get there just because that's what they do and he should throw for the 300. But if you think the game plays out the way the point spread says, but race roughly favored by a touchdown here for Tampa Bay, or the total, 52.5. That means the Eagles will be losing in the fourth quarter, and you can pick up those 50, 60, 70 yards with Jalen Hurts in junk time. I don't think that's a bad look by you, Kevin, on this one.
I found it. Plus 320. They named it differently. Bucks Eagles special featured. All right, so it's there. Plus 320. Not bad. Wait, now, do they have your beloved each quarterback to throw a touchdown pass in both of these halves? Now, how do we feel about that, Donnie? Do we feel good about that kind of a number?
Yeah, I'm trying to scroll because I saw today earlier. I think it was in the 300 range. And you know the fastest way to get Donnie Wrightside to take that? If I'm on the fence, you throw it up as an actual odds boost, and then we jump in it. Now, there's not one listed here at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, but there is an odds boost listed tonight in this football game dealing with Tom Brady.
Oh.
Tom Brady to throw for over 300 yards and a Buccaneers win. So if we're taking a look at Tom Brady's props here, which is actually 300.5 yards, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are favored by 7 points, that boosts from 150 to 190. That seems like a good boost here, Kevin, because even though I love Eagles Green and Eagles Kelly Green, the money that spends the same, Kevin, just a different shade of green, but it's all good.
No. Listen, I'm doing in-play sports tonight by myself if Donnie shows up there with any props that were to even suggest the Bucs were to win this game. Listen, fair enough. At the end of the day, you got to give people the winning edge. And that might just be where it is. Plus 190, can't argue with that one as well. Also, last match special I wanted to bring up. Monday night, Wentz and Lamar to combine for 500 passing yards and 4 passing touchdowns, plus 550. Look at this one. Hurts and Brady to combine for 550 passing and 5 passing touchdowns, plus 210. It's a big asking price there, Donnie. I'm not so sure, but then again, I don't know. Maybe Brady does throw for 4 touchdowns in this game. You're in the mix the whole way.
Yeah, it might be. And also, as I'm scrolling through the FanDuel Sportsbook now, you are correct here. What happened to my match specials and match specials 1, 2, 3, and 4 here, Kevin? I'm getting confused live on the air. They're throwing us curveballs left and right out here. We're trying to find odds and skip. Hey, Donnie, do you have that boost that you like? Yeah, they do, but I don't know where it's at, but I do still like it.
Yeah, they're trying to tank the early line, renaming things. I don't appreciate that one bit. Donnie closes out the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Closing out the last segment of the day here on a Thursday for the early line right here on the Sports Grid Network with myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Wall setting the table from 7 to 9 a.m. before we hand it off to the morning after over the next 3 hours with Ben Stevens and for the first hour, yours truly here. So make sure you stick around for that. But before we get out of here on the early line, just wanted to bring up a point. We had a great conversation today about college football and what we think is going to take place, teams that are going to be in the playoff, teams that might be on the outside and not making it into the playoff. And the reason I bring this up, I've editorialized this quite a bit over the past couple of years. The simple fact that the NCAA Division I, which is called now the FBS, does not actually have a true playoff is ridiculous. It's nice that we went from two teams to four teams. I understand that. But the simple fact is it's time for expansion, and this might be finally the year that gets it done. Now, also behind the scenes, we hear about negotiations with college football, you know, the leaders that be. We're going to table these negotiations because it's just too hard to get this job done over the next 5 to 7 years in the TV contract. And as Kevin brought up a great point here, the NFL just randomly on the fly this year said, yeah, in a couple months, you're going to have a Monday night wildcard game. That's just the way it's going to be because it's for the betterment of the game to make more money. I understand that. But let's take a look at college football here. Division III, 32 teams in the playoffs. Division II, a huge playoff field. The FCS, a huge college football playoff. But we're led to believe that you can't have a huge college football player in the FBS division, which is what we would all want, and the regular season would be meaningless. So then Division III, II, and the FCS, all meaningless regular seasons, and we shouldn't have that. Also keep in mind here the fallacy that the bowl season is so important here. Are you kidding me? Put a 32-team game championship in place in December and watch the money pile up at that time. And the final thing that always I get a good chuckle out of, Division I football players can't miss class because they'd play too many football games in order to do that and they would be out of class. Let's keep in mind, these games would be played over the winter break. Ridiculous stuff in college football here. Get the expanded playoff, because if Cincinnati does not make the playoff this year, that's going to be a shame for Cincinnati, but it's great for overall college football. Stay tuned next year for the Morning After on the Sports Grid Network, 9 to 12. Ben Stevens, and yes, yours truly. We're out of here on the Early Line. See you tomorrow.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.